Let's pray. Oh, Father, first of all, we just want to thank you for each one that were here this morning. Lord, that is a miracle. Father, we made it through the night. Our heart did not stop beating. Our brain synapses did not stop functioning. We actually woke up. And there's a day here, Lord. You got the sun behind the clouds, the earth rotating, Lord God, the earth being watered, strengthen our bodies. All these common graces, Lord, that are much more precious than we can realize. Holy Spirit, please guide our time and our activities this morning. Help us. Amen. All right. First of all, Jim, thank you for last week.
You're very welcome.
Appreciate jumping in there. My family and I have been going down to the Outer Banks now for over 10 years since our first granddaughter was born. So it's a great time to come together. And really appreciate you, Jim, stepping in there. For information, just a little, how many were able to listen to the fourth message from Sam Storms? Okay. All right. As normal, very quick review, trying to keep this brief. And so we've been working through this life in the Spirit. The main goal is really, I do believe, God just wants us stepping out more. I see things happening across the landscape. There's little things that are encouraging. So I don't know how many know what's going on in Magruder High School. So I have a friend there who's a teacher. So, you know, couple weeks ago, every Tuesday they sign up for classes, and the teacher's been there for years. So 3 years ago, five people signed up for Bible study. 2 years ago, four people. You know, last year, five people. This year, 75 people signed up for Bible study at Magruder High School. I've been hearing reports about this last year, just things that are going on, kids praying for one another, even some moves of the Holy Spirit. Stepping out there, it's just like, wow, like this is the public high school right next door to us.
Yes.
That's just a little snapshot of so many things that I just see where the Lord just seems to be moving mercifully on us as a country. In the midst of all the difficulty, God always moves. And a lot of times I think it's the difficulty we need to humble ourselves so we are crying out desperate for God. So this is an equipping class to say, Lord, all right, the Holy Spirit is here. We don't fully get how it works. Help us. Help us see that. So for those who didn't get to listen to the message, Sam Storms, this time, he's working progressively through 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14. And his passage for this week was all of two verses, 1 Corinthians 12, 12, and 13. Open to that. 1 Corinthians 12, 12 and 13. Welcome.
Good morning.
You're not
sorry, I'm so sorry.
Yes, you know. No apologies. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Come on in, please. So Dave was right. He turned the class around 1 week because he thought people could come in quieter. I had turned it this way because at that time it felt like the room I could get more people in. But I don't want anybody embarrassed walking in, so we may flip it back. His whole point here is the question of when are we baptized in the Holy Spirit? Now, how many, yeah, this is the older guys, ladies, how many came to the Lord in the charismatic movement? 70s, okay. Bunch of us, all right? Now, for those who don't know, charismatic movement, you've had different moves of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecostal one, a very well known, it was early 1900s, Dave, right? Title. Charismatic movement is more 60s, 70s. And what was very unique about this one is that it went through all the denominations. So I was raised Catholic, and it even invaded the Catholic Church. And Jim and Mary Pat were part of a whole community of Catholics who got filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, that caused ecclesiastical problems eventually down the line. But this is God, you know, he's just like, you know, I'm God, I can go where I want, I can do what I want, you know? Now, you have this experience, and I don't know how many of you, I was raised Catholic, and I was in church, I prayed, I believed. When I started doing drugs, I still thought I was good because I was praying, you know? So I'm, you know, and then you get this conversion experience. And it's like, what do I do with this? Because mine was very demonstrative. I mean, we came to party, find girls, get drunk, and we're in the Jesus Festival, and all of a sudden I'm converted, throwing my cigarettes in the fire, and buying a Bible. And you're like, now I was in church thousands of times. I've heard the Bible. I heard the priest. What happened? And so as a, there's almost like this, oh, the Catholic Church is bad. Oh, the Catholic Church is okay. Oh, you know, you're starting trying to blame something or somebody. The same thing, I think, with the Holy Spirit. You get the Holy Spirit, and it's like, what do I do with this theologically? And in the Pentecostal movement, the way that ended up working out was people said, okay, I was saved already. This is something different. And they separated the two experiences. When it came to the Lord, that was conversion. And now getting filled with the Holy Spirit, this is a second thing. And what Sam Storms does, he takes some time to just talk through history and all the different times that Christians have split up these two different places. So he'll go back to John Wesley, okay, the whole Methodist movement. John Wesley very much believed there was a second move of God, and by it you were transformed. And from that point on, you love God passionately. And so they all sought this experience, this Methodist experience where, you know what, now, you know, I might sin, but I'm not going to give up God. I'm just going to be passionate for God here all the way out. You know, it doesn't quite work. It was interesting that Martin Lloyd-Jones, who's a very solid Bible teacher, very current, even talks about a second experience that which by he sees the sealing of the Holy Spirit as a secondary experience. Now, when he breaks it through, the Pentecostals come in, like said, Sam will break it up this way, that if you look actually at the Assemblies of God doctrines, they're going to break it up to three different words that he grabs, and I think this is pertinent for us. Subsequence, conditions, and initial evidence. So subsequent to my conversion. Holy Spirit was after my conversion, two different experiences. Second, conditions. Why don't I have the Holy Spirit? Well, because you didn't do something. Maybe you need to repent. Maybe you need to confess. Maybe you need more faith. Maybe you need more prayers. Maybe you need more waiting. Maybe you need more seeking. Okay? And then initial evidence. You know, for them, a big thing was the Holy Spirit is manifest and get the tongues. No tongues, no Holy Spirit, you know? And so, now, in my perspective, I think they're trying to take their experience and wrap a theology around it. Later, when you had the charismatic movement come, they too saw it two different occasions, conversion, Holy Spirit baptism. They didn't lean so much on the conditions. They just, you know, kind of didn't worry about that, and they definitely didn't lean on you had to have the gift of tongues to prove that you had the Holy Spirit. All he's doing here is mapping out Christian history that in multiple places, and recognize even in Methodists and Martin Lloyd-Jones, they're not talking about charismatic gifts. They're talking about spirit experiences. They're talking about our spiritual life, but they're talking about something experiential and trying to frame it. All right? And what Sam Storms goes on to, the last one, the third way, which he would align with, which would be evangelicals today who believe that when they were born again, God gave them the Holy Spirit, and there are times where the Holy Spirit moves. There's places that you can receive fresh inpourings and stuff, but the Holy Spirit himself you received right when you got converted. Now, let's pull this all down to the Bible. And by the way, at the end, he says, you know what? Does it really matter if you're Pentecostal, New Wave, you know, this? He says, I just want to see us doing it, you know? I just want to see us moving more in the gifts. My one concern with highlighting some of the differences is I am passionate, because I believe God is passionate, that we have been given a gospel of grace. That from first to last, I desperately need God. There's nothing that I don't need God in. And so when you start leaning on these conditioned things, you didn't pray enough, believe enough, stuff like that, it gets very scary, especially as a pastor, because we walk through all this, and I can't tell you how many people, because they didn't speak in tongues, had difficulty in their Christian lives. Question, does God love me? Is the Spirit here? Pastorally, that because it's not in the Bible, and you see this outworking in people's lives, and it concerns you. And it's like, oh God, please. Trying to say a lot in a short amount of time, so a lot can be misunderstood. Is there a place for faith and experience? Yes. Jesus obviously calls out at different times, our faith making a difference. Does sin make a difference with the Holy Spirit? Yes. There's scripture in that. You know, our sin separates us from God. So experientially on some of these things, there are scriptures you can grab onto. But the point, I think, we go right back to what Sam Storm started with. The Holy Spirit is a person. It is God. He is God. He has come to dwell within us. A new covenant. This is, I think, the thing we have to stay with. If you were old covenant, okay, it didn't work. All the law, all the whole Old Testament history is one word. It doesn't work. Man can't do it. They need a Savior. Paul says, all of the law led us to Christ. All the law led us to God has to save me. It's a whole Old Testament. Just read the whole thing. I need God. Okay, and Jesus comes. So, all of a sudden now, what's happened? What's happened in the New Testament is God himself comes and dwells within us, puts a new heart, puts a new desire. And we're actually doing things that previous generations didn't. They fell off and stuff like that. And there's a difference of the Holy Spirit being within us and the life that he's making in us. So, to overlay that with the gifts is just an aspect of this God who's come to dwell within us. And as we said earlier, I think in some of these situations, I believe gifts are already here and need to be expressed. And in other situations, scripture's clear that we can receive, and Paul says, ask for, cry out for these gifts. So here's one passage that he grabbed out of here. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, and all were made to drink of the one Spirit. He's writing Paul to the Corinthians, and he's telling the Corinthians, listen, you all were baptized into Christ. You all received the Holy Spirit. You were all made to drink of the Holy Spirit. And that's the point, is that the Spirit. Now, why does this, to me, where I think it may help us in this exercise we're trying to move forward, is if we think it's something out there, I think we lean a little different. If there's something out there, I don't have the Holy Spirit yet, I need to do this, I have to work that, I think we start going down a certain path. If we believe, no, I know that I've been born again. The Spirit of God dwells within me. God's a generous God who gives gifts generously. I mean, remember when Jesus was saying, you know, which one among you, you know, your son asked you for a loaf of bread, is God going to give them a stone, you know, or a fish, going to give them a scorpion? You who are evil, you know how to give good gifts. Does God know how to give good gifts? Yes. I love how Jesus goes to the heart of God. This is God's heart. He has given us Himself, He's given us His Holy Spirit. He wants us to walk in these things, right? So let the truths of who God is and the truths of the scripture direct your experience, and not let your experience direct the other way around, all right? This is a huge topic, and we're trying to do this in 5-10 minutes, all right? That'd be what Sam mostly has put out there and the heart of where I'm going. All right, questions? Hopefully no questions.
So his bottom line is, can you give me 2 sentences, 3 sentences?
His bottom line is that we have all received the Holy Spirit when we got converted. Oh, thank you, because he drills out one other point. He says it very well here. In no New Testament text are we commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. There is no appeal to do something in order to be baptized. There is no exhortation or imperative. On the other hand, we are commanded to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Mm-hmm. Ephesians 5:18. Thus, it is possible to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, to experience the permanent indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and yet not be filled with the Holy Spirit. So it's this expression of filled. And this, I think, you can see in different stories in Acts and elsewhere. For instance, time of persecution, the apostles come back and they are praying, Lord God, thank you for letting us suffer. You who ordained all this stuff, come and move mightily among us that we can continue spreading the gospel. And it says the room was shaken and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. So these are Christians who already had the Holy Spirit and something happened. Something moved. So we are looking for experiences of the Holy Spirit. Not the Holy Spirit himself, because he is there and present, but him moving at a place and accelerated rate in our lives in various dimensions. And the Holy God's just God. And so you see this in history, what he does in certain people, certain times. We just want to be leaning forward and desiring and looking for that. Yes, Dave?
I don't deny that the Holy Spirit comes in at all when we're born again. When Peter and John went down after Philip preached to the Samaritans, they received something more. They said they had not received the Holy Spirit yet.
Yeah.
And they filled it. And then Paul also, you know, asks someone, maybe it's in Acts, says, have you only received the baptism that John spoke of? And he said, he taught them more correctly.
Yeah.
And I'm assuming he laid hands on them and they got, you know, filled.
So glad you brought this update. Which, by the way, I just got to back up a sec. I was raised charismatic, okay? So I always, and this is a progress of learning and teaching. And what Dave's pointing out, there's actually 2 or 3, when you follow through the Acts, and I wish I had time to do this more thoroughly, that you, Chad, can you find the, when we went down and found the Ephesians, guys, lays hands on them.
Yeah.
Here's where we're looking at this. You have 2 covenants, all right? You had the old covenant that existed, and then Jesus died, the kingdom has come, new covenant. And you've got this section in between. You've got people who are believers under the old covenant. The disciples were all old covenant believers, all right? And so that was what it was to be part of the church. That is what it was to be part of God. And so when they are experiencing, as a believer, the Holy Spirit coming in Acts 2, they're experiencing this manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Well, they're not the only ones. So you want to read a portion of that passage? Or?
Sure. He was going to Ephesus and said,
section, by the way.
This is Acts 19.
Okay.
Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. And he said, and to what then were you baptized? They said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in the one who was to come after him, that is, Jesus. On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There are about 12 men in all.
So they are Old Testament converts, but they don't know Jesus, you know? And so they are now hearing the gospel for the first time and receiving the Holy Spirit. What's interesting is these times where it seems like all of a sudden they seem to be believers and they're having a second experience with the Holy Spirit, if you map it, it aligns with what the beginning of Acts says. You will take, remember, Jesus said to Peter, I'm giving you the keys of the kingdom. And Peter is to take the gospel to Jerusalem, Samaria, Judea, Samaria, ends of the parts of the earth. And each time that this experience happens, you're going to see this baptism in the Spirit. So these, what's being recorded in Acts is these milestones of I'm taking the kingdom not just to Jerusalem, not just to Judea, not just to Samaria, but the ends of the earth. And you're seeing a manifest power of the Holy Spirit come upon individuals who are Old Testament believers. And they are receiving. So for us, we sit there and say, it looks like two experiences. Mm-hmm. All right? And because you are living at a very unique time, you are living in between in two covenants. Now we're all a new covenant. So whether you would agree with that or not, as Sam says, he's putting that secondary, that's the position. And that would be the majority of, as Sam Storm says, majority of evangelical believers, majority of believers in the Holy Spirit. It's a one-time experience. Here, say some chat there.
Just that the verse you're talking about, Jesus is talking to his disciples and says, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise from the Father, which he said, you heard from me, for John's baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. And then he goes on to say, you will preach the gospel from Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. So he's even calling out the baptism of John and the transition that's supposed to take place in their own lives. And then this is happening in other Jews that haven't heard about Jesus as well.
So something like, you can check it out more, and I'll have interchanges, you know, definitely individual and stuff like that, because I want to get to praying for one another. I'll lean on Sam Storms. In one sense, when I hit this, I'm like, okay, does this help what we're doing, which is, Lord, help us come into an experience. If nothing else, I'm hoping that this is what you got out of the message. It's not like Sam Storm said it this way. I'm trying to find it. That if conversion is something I receive, and the Holy Spirit baptism is something I have to work at and earn, there's a problem. Both are received. And I think Jesus is trying to make that very clear. They're both received, okay? If we had to measure up to something to get the Holy Spirit, you know, the whole gospel we believe is that we can't. But I want you to know the heart of God, that he loves to baptize. Now, I think Jim shared last week the testimony with Susan. What I loved about being there as we were praying, for those who didn't hear, Maria Cleveland a couple weeks ago told me about the pain in her back, which was before COVID started, and she'd been checked out by a doctor. She'd been trying to do a bunch of things. And so we laid hands, we prayed, and the only thing I exhorted everybody, let's just wait. You know, let's just listen. So after it was a couple minutes, you know, is anybody? So for Susan, who I've known, and for those who know her, Susan's a quiet person, just okay, nothing, you know. And she just comes out and says, "Do you ever have an accident with your left shoulder?" "Yeah, a long time ago." "When you breathe in deep, do you feel pain in your left lung?" Yeah. How'd you know that? I don't know, it's been going through my head the past 5 minutes. I thought I should just say it. Now, when Susan started saying it, Susan's a nurse, I'm thinking she's diagnosing. You know, it was my first, you know, I was like, okay, she's saying this. And then I find that it's not. She's just listening. And God's doing something. And I said, Maria, where's your faith at now? She goes, oh my gosh. So we just prayed. She saw a summer beat. She hasn't seen a full manifestation. But I love that. Lord, thank you for just that simple picture. You know? Mm-hmm. Just Susan. You know, it's just Paul, it's just Steve, it's just, you know, it's just us. Yes. And he does. Here's where my passion, I think, for the gifts is. All of this is having us experience God. It is a listening. It is a receiving. It is the dependence. That is something that we need in our Christianity in all aspects.
Amen.
We just need that. Need to be hearing his voice and responding to his voice. And the gifts is one way that happens. So as we gather together in prayer right now, do they just, you know, God, you know who he is, he's a good father. You know, he's not an emotion you have to work out. Pray, ask, Lord God, what do you want to do? Help us and receive. Okay? Yes.
Can I share one little thing? The thing that keeps coming through my mind is, you know, when I was trying to figure out all this, you know, this baptism second and all that, and remembering my own experience, I remember a Bible teacher once saying, we need the repeated infillings of the Holy Spirit because we leak.
Yeah. Yes.
And so yeah. It's okay to ask for him to fill us again.
Yes.
And expect that again, because he knows we leak.
Yes. Yes. Well said. All right, let's break up into groups of like 5 or 6. What I did last time was just, if anybody had a specific need, I think it's a good thing to just focus on a person and a need and allow, I think for us, Chip Gray's, we pray on Saturdays. We eventually pray for the world, what's going on in Ukraine, but we start with, hey, what, you know, guys, I have an argument with my wife. My kid is sick, you know? Listen, Ukraine's at war. We're going to pray for your sick kid. And for Chip Grange, he says, these are springboards into praying for other things. Mm-hmm. And I think we can connect easier with Mary Pat than I can with Russia. And that starts my faith, you know. And there's a relationship love connection that I think that helps us, serves us in this matter. So that's why I'm strategically doing that. So let's get in groups of 5 or 6.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. Last week in my group, I asked for prayers, and another lady, I think Karen, also asked for prayers. And Susan told us to pray one for another. And for me, I've had this back, neck, and shoulder problem, which is being healed progressively. By that Sunday, I would say, like, I was 90% okay. So I asked for prayers that God will bring me to perfection. And they prayed for me. But what stood out to me is the fact that Susan said, God will bring this about progressively, from glory to glory.
Yes.
And over in the past week, I wouldn't say there is much difference. But the difference is the fact that my faith is encouraged.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying, Lord, thank you, because you will bring me to perfection.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Amen.
And